Alleluia. Christ is risen. Indeed. When I was a child, Easter Alleluia meant three things. First, when I was younger, a new John. Later, a new navy blazer. Second, an Easter egg hunt. And third, my grandmother cooked twice the food that she normally would on an average Sunday. Now, the blazer, that meant a trip to Bell's department store where Mr. Bell would greet my mother. She would sit down on the couch. She had a glass of sherry, by the way, during this transaction. I do believe Mr. Bell knew something about selling clothing. And each year, I would try on two models. One, the less expensive hopsack, and then the second, the more expensive fine worsted wool. Every year, Mr. Bell said the same exact thing. Buy it a little large, he would say. He'll have plenty of growing room. It might even last 2 years, so I would buy the nicer if I were you. And every year, my mother, well, enough sherry, she would buy that nice blazer. And every year, we would venture home, where, greeted by my father, he too would say the same thing. Why did you buy the nicer? It never fits 2 years in a row. And the second thing about Easter, those years, the wonderful egg hunts, like the one that will follow this service for all the children gathered here today. And in particular, one egg hunt. A classmate of mine, she had a father that adored Easter. And he would take the tractor on their family farm, and he would fill a wagon behind it with hay and pull us all over that beautiful piece of God's earth as we would look for real eggs back before the Surgeon General told us that eggs were bad and contained terrible bacteria if you ate them. But third, if you know me well enough to know that it was my grandmother, really, and the feast she prepared that really, really was Easter for me. You see, my grandmother, she would cook for days. And with all of her southern quirkiness, she embodied Easter. I look back and think about the average Sundays. It was amazing what she did for us. But on Easter, let me give you an image of her meal. We had ham and chicken and beef. We had rice and potatoes, mashed and roasted. We had green beans and lima beans and speckled butter beans. And we had this mysterious green Jell-O salad, along with a red Jell-O salad, the ingredients never disclosed. And for dessert, sitting on the sideboard, a pound cake and a chocolate cake. In some years, a coconut cake, and always a lemon cream pie, my favorite, and a chess pie, my father's favorite, and then lots of candies. Some years, if we were lucky, a 7-layer caramel cake as well. And here's the best part. There were only 5 of us for Easter dinner. You heard me, just 5. Now, on the one hand, I suppose this fact never really dawned on my grandmother, and on the other, it was probably just her southern quirkiness. She cooked like any southern lady was supposed to do in that day. But on a deeper level, on a soul level, she knew exactly what she was doing. She was providing to us more food than we could possibly consume. But she knew that she was painting a picture of Easter that I would remember some 30 years later. And when her ashes were commingled with the earth's dust, when she had passed on and I could no longer dine with her, she knew that on Easter I would remember my grandmother. She knew I would remember the ingredients. She knew that I would see her sitting at the table. For my grandmother gave me a foretaste of the heavenly banquet, that same thing that you've experienced this day at this table. Sometimes we fall victim to the Easter feast being defined so narrowly that we think of it only as a day of a blue blazer and an egg hunt. But this is the feast of our Lord. This day that begins 50 days in the church calendar of feasting, this day is the day that Jesus went from death and darkness into life and light. And it is the day that in your heart, in your soul, you too can make that transition. For Easter is not about something that happened in the past. Easter is about what happens right here, right now, in your heart and in your soul. My grandmother gave me a foretaste of the heavenly kingdom. She embodied Easter because she knew that the cross, that the tomb, the empty tomb, affected who she was in that day. And a cooking feast of epic proportions was her way of declaring God's faithfulness to us no matter what. She knew to the depth of her being that she was painting a picture of Easter that we would never forget. My brothers and sisters, we live in a world full of scarcity. But actually, we live in a world full of God's abundance. My grandmother taught me that the Easter moment exists every single day. And in places where Easter has yet to be known, where darkness still walks the streets, whether here in Haiti, in Iraq, that light can come when those who have seen a foretaste of the heavenly kingdom become willing to bear it. So, on this day in particular, when I close my eyes, I return to that driveway. I can feel that great, big, huge Buick Electra making its way up the drive, passing the azaleas and the rhododendron, the daffodils, the tulips. And I can see her standing there, waiting on the porch, knowing that the table was fully set and that the feast was ready for her family. Today, it could be about blue blazers and egg hunts. Those are good and wonderful parts of Easter. But for me, today is about my grandmother and remembering an image I can never forget. So later, despite the fact that we will only have one meat, two vegetables, and a single chocolate cake, and no green Jell-O salad, I think I'm going to pull out the china and set an extra place setting for her. I think I'll give her every sterling fork and every crystal goblet. I may even pour a glass of sherry in her honor. And like Elijah at the Passover feast, I'm going to open the door because she might just come in and dine at the feast. My brothers and sisters, alleluia. Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen.